नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरक्षे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यम ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुत स्तुवन्ति दिव्येस्त्वे वेदे संग पद क्रम उपनिषदे गायन्ति यम सामगा ध्यानवस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम योगिनो यस्यांतं न विधुसुरसुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः नमः पंकज नाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांगरे सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादि हेतवे तापत त्राय विनाशाय कृष्णाय वयम् नमः कृष्णाय वयम् नमः जय श्री राधे नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर भवति नैश्चिकी मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणे परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्येश्वरम् Once more, welcome and thank you for being here. And we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the topmost scripture, the topmost Purana among the all Vedic literature. That is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. And last time we discussed what Bhagavatam is. What is the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam? What is so special about Srimad Bhagavatam? And we discussed the word itself, Bhagavat. The word Bhagavat comprised of four letters. Bha, Ga, Va, Ta. So the Bha represents Bhakti. Ga represents Gyan. Va represents Vairagya. And Ta is Tyag. So the goal of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it makes all these things available in the heart. The Bhakti arises in the heart. The devotion. It helps in gaining knowledge. Knowledge, not just the mundane knowledge, knowledge about the absolute. And it helps us get rid of unwanted things, Vairagya. And to get all that, the requirement is Tyag.
Yeah.
What is Tyag means? Giving up unnecessary things. Sometimes people think to gain or to become happy is to gain something. Right? By gaining something we can become happy. But the scriptures tell us to become happy we have to give up something. And what is that giving up is? Giving up our all unrequired, unwanted things. The lust, anger, greed, envy, pride. All these things which are accumulated in the heart. From so many lifetimes, we need to give up those things. And to be able to give up those things, we have to give up the association of non-devotees, in one sense. Tyajiye Hari Vimukhan Ko Sangha. Giving up the association of wrong people. Because association, everybody understand, association is very important. There is some sort of association, you go to somebody's house and it becomes very easy to chant the holy name. And there may be other situation also, you go to somebody's house and whatever you are chanting, you give up that also. Happens? Right? In some environment, it becomes so easy to engage in bhakti. With the inspiration, with the atmosphere, it becomes easy that you are automatically just pulled into chanting. You are able to chant nicely. But at, there is some house maybe in the neighborhood, you go there and you leave whatever you are doing. Especially everybody may have experience when we go to India, when we visit families, friends, relatives, all that. Our practice goes down. What is that? Influence of association. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we want everybody to become malamal. Everybody to become wealthy. And what is that wealth? Everybody become malamal. Somebody asks, what is that meaning of malamal? Mala hi jiska mal hai. That is malamal, right? To improve on your chanting. To take to the chanting of holy name. So we want all of you to become malamal. So that's what we discuss the New Year resolution. So association is very important. Giving up the wrong association. And taking up the right association. And right association is coming to the satsang program, coming to the temple, visiting like-minded people, staying in the association of like-minded people who can inspire us. And to get bhakti, what is the requirement? What is the qualification needed to gain bhakti in the heart?
Shraddha.
So Shraddha is one. And we have need to have intense desire. If we really want to progress in spiritual life, the qualification is intense desire. With the desire, one can progress in bhakti. To gain knowledge, jnana. To gain knowledge, what is needed?
Humility also.
Okay, so with the humility to hear from somebody, attentive hearing, faith in scriptures, and to gain vairagya, What is needed to get vairagya?
Gyan.
Gyan? Yes, practical realization. Anubhav, experience. Right, to gain vairagya, or to basically to be able to give up the unnecessary things, we need experience. Practical experience, which comes through gyan. And to be able to give up something, to be able to adopt tyag, right? To be able to give up something, what is needed?
You need to get a higher taste of
something. Higher taste of something, and above that is need sankalpa, determination. So with intense desire, one can take to the process of bhakti. With humility, with the proper attitude, one can gain knowledge. With experience, we are able to give up unnecessary things, bring vairagya in life. And to be able to do that, we have to make determination. An intense desire. So for bhakti, rather than making it as a desire, actually if we make it your need, then it's become even easier to progress. So one thing is, okay, I have the desire. But if that desire becomes your need, then you are able to progress much more. What is the statement in Hindi we say? Jarurat hi avishkar ki janani hai. Necessity is the mother of invention. So if somebody has a desire, right, if with the desire, if somebody is doing something, it may not happen. But if that becomes a necessity, then somebody will do anything to get that. Is that true?
Can you give an example of that bhakti thing? How is it like necessity? How can it become a necessity?
Right. So rather than thinking that, oh, I want to progress in bhakti, rather than want, if you make it, I need. This is my only chance. I have got the human form of life. If I don't take to bhakti now, I may again fall down into that 8.4 million species of life. I don't know when will I get that chance. I have got this golden opportunity, the golden broom in my hand. Right? So I want to take that opportunity and progress in bhakti now. So I need to do it rather than I want to do it. Oh, it's good if I can progress something. Rather than that mentality, if we make it, I need to. This is my only hope to get rid of all the problems of life, to get rid of all the miseries of life. So make it the need. For example, I will give a practical example. If somebody comes at home, some prabhus come at home, midnight at home, and the wife is sleeping, all the family members are sleeping, and the person is a little sober, doesn't want to disturb the family member, doesn't want to disturb his wife, let her sleep. But he's really hungry. So you want to sleep, but we will not be able to sleep until he eats something. But wife is sleeping. He opens up the refrigerator. There's nothing to eat. But he will do something to prepare something. Either cut up some fruit, some vegetables, take some milk, heat up some milk, put some cereals. Even though he has never done anything, any sort of cooking. But if you're really, really hungry, you will do something. Because that is your need. Right? If it was desire, if I get something to eat, that will be very nice. Then you may be lazy and just sleep. But if you know that I will not be able to sleep until I eat, and you will do anything to get something. So if we make bhakti as the need in life, then we will become very serious about it. Otherwise, we take it for granted. Oh, abhi kya hai? I still have a lot of time. I mentioned this phrase last time in the resolution thing. Sometimes we get into this mood. Aaj kare so kal, kal kare so parso, itni bhi kya jaldi hai, jab jeena itne barso, right? Why to do today, I will do tomorrow. Why to tomorrow, I will do day after. What is so rush? I have so many years to live. So sometimes we get into that mood. But rather than, if we make it the necessity of life, then it becomes very easy to progress in bhakti. So, making it the need. And last time we discussed the Mahatmya of Bhagavat. And today we want to discuss the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva compiled this scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered as the topmost Purana. Among the whole Vedic literature, this is considered as the topmost literature. Nothing else stays in comparison to it. And the three verses of the first three verses of that are the essence of which, because it introduces the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it introduces about whom it's being spoken, what is spoken inside this, about whom it's saying something, and how we can connect with that person. So it's like when you enter into the boundary of Michigan, on the entrance, it's written, "Welcome to Michigan, state of Michigan." If you enter in Ohio, there's "Welcome to Ohio." So every state has their welcome board stating you are entering into the boundary of that particular thing. So when we enter into Srimad Bhagavatam, it also describes where are we entering now. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I pay my obeisances to the Supreme Lord Vasudev. So it's the boundary, it's the starting point where you're entering into the absolute truth now. So Bhagavatam is about the absolute truth. It describes who the absolute truth is, how we can connect with the absolute truth. So it speaks about the Sambandha Gyan also, it speaks about the Abhidya Gyan also. Sambandha means our relationship with that absolute truth, and how we can establish that relationship with the Supreme Lord. There may be many truths in life. Few years back, somebody may say, "Oh, I'm 30 year old." So that was true at some point of time, but maybe not true anymore. Right? So the truth changes. In this world, the truth also changes. It's a relative truth. But here now we are entering into the absolute truth, which is true, which was true millions of years ago, which is true now, which will remain true millions of years later also. So it's absolute truth. So the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, so I will recite the first three verses and then we'll discuss that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Janma Adhyasya Yato Anvayadi Taratas Charteshva Vignat Swarat Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Suraya Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Amrasha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projita Ketavo Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vastvam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayo Namulanam Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Krite Kimva Prairishwara Sadayo Hridaya Varudhyate Yatra Kritibhi Shushushubhi Statkshana Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukmukadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pivat Bhagavat Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvibhavuka.
So these are the first three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And these three verses are considered as the invocation prayers. So like we do recite the invocation prayer before anything. Invocation prayer is also called Mangalacharan. Right? We are invoking the mercy of Guru. We are invoking the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We are invoking the mercy of the Vaishnavas. through the invocation prayers. So like that, the three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the three invocation prayers. So the Acharyas explain, the first verse is like the invocation prayers, the Mangalacharan by Srila Vedvyas, who is the author of the scripture. And the second verse is considered as the Mangalacharan by Shukdev Goswami. And the third verse is as a Mangalacharan from Sutta Goswami. So there are three primary speakers of Bhagavat. So Bhagavat, composed by Srila Vyasadev, so he narrated it to his son Shukdev Goswami. And Shukdev Goswami is considered as a primary speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shuka Uvacha, right? So Shukdev Goswami spoke it to Parikshit Maharaj. And in that assembly, all the great sages, even the author itself, Vedavyas, the great sage Narada Muni, and many other exalted personalities were present. So Shukdev Goswami narrated it to Parikshit Maharaj. And in that assembly, Sutta Goswami was also present, who later spoke it to the many sages at Nemesharanya, the 88,000 sages who assembled to perform a 1,000-year-long yajna for the welfare of common people. So Sutta Goswami spoke it to all those sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi. So there's three speakers, and the three verses are considered as the invocation prayer respectively by these three speakers. So we'll go one by one through these verses to understand what the real meaning, what is these verses addressing about the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first verse was, Janmadhyasya yato anvayaditaratas charteshva avigyasavrat tene brahma hridayadikavaye muhiyanti yatsuraya tejo vari mridam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo amrashat dhamna swena sada nirastakuhakam satyam param dhimahi. So Acharyas has actually given many, many meanings for this first verse of Bhagavatam. So in our Acharya Parampara, there is Vamshidhar Maharaj who gave 118 explanations of this one verse. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave 5 commentaries, 5 different explanations for this particular verse. So we'll discuss few of these explanations of this verse, what this verse actually means. So it starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srila Vyasadeva is establishing what is the subject matter. What is the subject matter? Vasudev, the supreme absolute truth. That is the subject matter of this scripture. So Janmadhi Asyayato. Janam Adi. When we say Janam Adi means etc, etc, etc. Janam means birth. So birth and etc, etc. Or creation, etc, etc. Creation, so the Acharya has put creation, maintenance and annihilation. So who is the cause of the creation, maintenance and annihilation? Yato anvayad itaratas. He is directly or indirectly is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation. Charteshwa abhigya. And he is all knowing. He is cognizant. He knows everything. Savarat, he is completely independent. He is not dependent on anybody. He is the source of everything. He doesn't have any other source behind him. Tene brahma hridaya adikave, from whom first the knowledge was imparted into the heart of Brahma. Tene brahma hridaya adikave muhiyanti yat surya, by whom all the other great devi devatas, other great personalities are put into illusion. Tejo vari mridam. So tejo vari mridam is like water, fire and earth. As sometimes water is seen on land. Sometimes you are driving in the sunlight and you feel there is water on the earth, water on the ground. But there is no water. Right? So there is an illusion. As sometimes water is seen on earth, or sometimes fire is seen in water, or water is seen on fire. So like that, people, he puts everybody in illusion. People think him to be under the modes, or his appearance to be as material in this material world. Yata vinimayo yatra trisargo amrasha. He is beyond the three modes of material nature. He is completely beyond this material world. Dhamna Swena Sada Nirast Kuhakam. He is always situated in his transcendental abode. Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on that absolute truth. So that is a very basic understanding, basic explanation of the verse. That I meditate on that absolute truth, who is the cause of everything, who gave the knowledge to the first created being as Brahma into his heart. He puts everybody into illusion. Who is beyond the three modes of material nature, who is beyond this material world, material creation, always situated in his transcendental abode. So Krishna is the source of everything. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes and there is no cause behind him. And Chartheshwa Abhigya, he is cognizant, fully knowing everything. Sometime with our material advancement, we try to gain knowledge of this material world. We think we have made a lot of progress. We need know a lot of things with our scientific advancement. But look at Krishna's creation. He has created all these different species of life. Within one species of life, let's say within the human beings, there are billions of people and everybody is unique. Right? Everybody is unique. One person's fingerprint doesn't match with other person's fingerprint. One person's eye color or the size, the shape doesn't match with anybody else. So that is the master creation, the master plan behind Krishna's creation. And we sometimes become so proud of the supercomputing system that we have supercomputers now which can store so much of data. But that is still also limited. We may have a trillion gigabyte or tera gigabytes of the space, but still that runs out. But Krishna's supercomputer is so vast, no matter how much data you store on it, it never runs out of disk space. And there's no file corruption. Krishna knows the past, present and future of everybody. His disk never becomes filled. His disk never becomes corrupted. So Krishna is completely cognizant. He knows everything. And Swaraj, he is completely independent. He doesn't need anybody's help to maintain this material world. He can do anything at will. So in Bhagavatam or many other scriptures says, and even in Bible it says, the Lord thought, let there be creation, and there was creation. Right? So Lord glanced on the material energy, Prakriti, and everything was created in that. So with Krishna's just will, everything can happen. He is completely independent. But he puts everybody into illusion. Nobody can understand. We may think, oh, I understand Krishna now. But again, something will happen. Somebody may think, oh, now I am very fixed in chanting. As soon as we get that thought, next day, cannot get up in the morning. Oh, now I am very fixed. I am fully determined. Next day again it goes down. So as soon as we get that little proud in the heart, Krishna shows us the reality. So Krishna can put anybody into illusion. Small people, they think themselves as great personalities. Right? We may be very minor, minute particle, but sometimes we become proud of our achievements. What is the definition of the Supreme Lord which is established in the scriptures? So Prashar Muni gives the definition of the Supreme Lord. What are the characteristics of the Supreme Lord? So in Vishnu Puran, there is one verse which describes who is Supreme Lord or what are the characteristics of the Supreme Lord. Aishwarasya Samagrasya. So opulence, knowledge, beauty, fame, strength, knowledge, renunciation. So all these qualities. So Aishwarasya Samagrasya, Yashasya Shreya, So, opulence, ashwarasya samagrasya, yasha, fame, knowledge, beauty. So nobody can surpass Krishna in all these opulence. Somebody in the material world may have small portion of these opulence. Somebody may be very beautiful, but he may not be able to stay beautiful ever. There are many Hollywood personalities. Somebody may be at the top in their career, but few years down, nobody remembers them. So, but Krishna is the most beautiful. Somebody may be very strong, very heavy built, lot of strength, but that strength doesn't remain forever. Today somebody may be very strong, but few years later that person is in a condition where he cannot even lift a finger. Somebody may be very rich, but nobody can claim, "I own everything." So Krishna is described here, who is the source of all these things. And on top of that, even having all that, he is fully renounced. Nobody can, after having some opulence, would become so proud that, "Oh, I have so much," or "I control so many people." But Krishna, even having all the opulences, owning everything, he is completely renounced. He doesn't get attached with anything. In Vrindavan, he was having the association of all these gopis, enjoying all these things. Everybody is loving Krishna so much, but who comes to take Krishna? Akrurji come to take Krishna, that you need to come to Mathura. Krishna left everybody immediately. Even though everybody is loving Krishna so much, if somebody is loving you, will you be able to leave that person immediately? Leave your parents immediately, leave your friends immediately and go? We get attached with small things. But Krishna immediately renounces. He is not attached to anything. So that is even topmost quality. So that is the characteristics of Krishna. And he is present in his own spiritual world, and he reveals himself based on the desire and the qualification of the person who tries to approach Krishna. So that was the first explanation of this verse. So first explanation was in general about the absolute truth. And Acharyas explain, the next explanation is actually explaining about the personality of Krishna. About Krishna himself, directly speaking about Krishna. Because here, it doesn't mention the name of Krishna, right, in the verse. Even though he starts with Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya, but in the verse doesn't mention the name of Krishna. But the other explanation, which specifically talks about the personality of Krishna, says, Janmadhyasya yato. So, directly talks about Krishna's birth. So, Krishna took his birth in the prison house. Janmadi asya yato anvayaditaratas. So he took his birth in the prison house, but he knew the heart of everybody. He knew the heart of Kansa, that Kansa want to kill. He has already killed all the babies and he want to kill Krishna also. And he knew the heart of the Brajvasis, that the Brajvasi have so much love for him. So Krishna knows everybody, knowing the heart of everybody, he instructed Vasudev, his father, to take him from the prison house to Gokul. Charteshwa Abhigya, knowing everything. Sorat, he is completely independent. So when a baby is born in the prison house, he is dependent on the parents. He cannot do anything. He is just lying down on the floor. Mother has to clean the baby. Mother has to feed the baby. But here, Krishna even took, he appeared as a small baby in the prison house, but he is completely independent. He immediately instructed Vasudev, "Please take me to Gokul, at the home of my devotee Nanda Maharaj." Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. He imparted in the heart of Brahma, he revealed to Brahma, when this Brahma Bimohan Leela happened, Brahma kidnapped all the cowherd boys which are playing with Krishna. But Krishna expanded himself in the form of all those gopas, all those cowherd boys. And later on when Brahma returned back, Brahma was bewildered seeing all those cowherd boys sitting there. And Krishna imparted in his heart the knowledge in the showing him the Vishnu form. In the form of all those cowherd boys, he showed as a Vishnu form to Brahma. So in the heart of Brahma, he revealed that information, in that knowledge, that I am that same Supreme Lord. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikave Muhyanti Yat Surya. With the pastimes of Krishna, even the great, great demigods are put into illusion. Like Brahma is put into illusion. Indra is put into illusion. The whole Govardhan Leela happened because Indra is put into the illusion. Narada Muni, the great sage, he is put into the illusion. So all these great saintly personalities are put into illusion by Krishna. Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo. So whenever Krishna appears in this material world, people consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being. They think Krishna is also as a normal human being and he is also under the influence of the material nature. Even though when Krishna was personally present, some people knew he is the Supreme Lord. 5000 years ago when Krishna personally appeared, some people already knew he is the Supreme Lord. But many other people were always under illusion. Duryodhana, he wanted to capture Krishna. So people are put into illusion considering Krishna to be an ordinary person. Dhamna Swena Sada Nirasta Kuhakam. He is situated in his dham, in Mathura, in Dwarika, while seated, while positioned in his kingdom. He revealed himself through his pastimes, his real identity, to his great devotees. Satyam Param Dhimahi. I meditate on that Supreme Lord. So that is another deeper level of understanding of this first verse. Speaking about the actual person form of Krishna, when Krishna appeared. And yet there is another explanation which speaks about Bhakti Yoga. So first explanation speaks about Krishna. Second explanation speaks about how this verse explains the process to connect with Krishna. Which is the process to connect with Krishna is Bhakti Yoga. Janmadhyasya yato anvayaditaratas. When somebody has an intense desire, engages in bhakti, janmadhyasya yato, in his heart, Krishna appears, Krishna takes birth in his heart. Janmadhyasya yato anvayaditaratas. The bhakti makes the process is so easy and it's completely independent, swarat. The process of bhakti in itself is independent. It doesn't need the help of any other process. So if we speak about other processes, the karma yoga, the dhyana yoga, the jnana yoga process, ultimately it needs the support of bhakti to be able to gain the ultimate goal. But bhakti itself is completely independent of all other processes. So bhakti yoga is completely independent. Brahma, tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye. The process of bhakti was revealed in the heart of Vyasadeva by Narad Muni, who composed this scripture, who explained the process of bhakti. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yat Surya. The process of bhakti is so simple, but people are put into illusion. People think, oh, how can it give that big result? This is such a simple process, just chant, hear, eat Krishna Prasad, and you can gain the ultimate goal of life. How can that give us so big results, such a simple process? So great personalities are put into illusion. But for the simple, it's very simple. The simple-hearted person is very easily able to adopt to this process of bhakti. But person who are very complicated, who use their brain all the time, it has already become very complicated. They are illusioned. Tejo Vari Mridam Yata Vinimayo. The process of bhakti is beyond the three modes of material nature. The bhakta may be in the mode of material nature. As a practicing devotee, we are influenced by three modes of material nature. So bhakti is also described. Some people engage in bhakti in the mode of passion. Sometimes people do chanting also in passion. 69, done, yay. I become so passionate. So sometimes bhakti is also done in passion. Some people do bhakti in the mode of ignorance. Some people think I am a great devotee. And they think devotee, sometimes they become the devotee of some Devi Devta demigod like Hiranyakashipu. He was doing bhakti in the mode of ignorance. He was cutting his flesh and putting into the fire. I want to please the demigods. So bhakta, the person practicing bhakti may be in the mode of material nature, but bhakti yoga is beyond the modes of material nature. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. By engaging in the process of bhakti, one can approach the abode of the Supreme Lord, the supreme destination, the spiritual world. Satyam param dhimahi. I meditate on that process of bhakti. So that is another explanation of this first verse. Yet another explanation, which is my favorite. From bhakti yoga, the important aspect of bhakti yoga is chanting of the holy name. So the next explanation, it talks about chanting. The next explanation is about the process of chanting the holy name, the glories of the holy name. Because one may not be able to understand the Supreme Lord, the form, the personalities of the Supreme Lord. But the chanting process is considered as the absolute truth. Even Lord Shiva tells to Parvati, Uma kahu main anubhav apana, sat hari bhajan jagat sapana. So Lord Shiva is saying, I am telling my experience. Uma kahu anubhav apana, I am telling my own experience. Sat hari bhajan, only hari bhajan is the absolute truth. Jagat sapana, this material world is just like a dream. But only hari bhajan, the chanting of the name of Hari, is the absolute truth. So this, the first verse also talk about the chanting of the holy name. Janmadhyasya yato anvayaditaratas. When one take to the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we take to the chanting of the holy name, Janm Adi Asya, Lord's form, His Leela, His Gun, they all take birth in the heart. Janm Adi Asya Yato Anvayat. By connecting with the holy name, Lord's form, Dham, Leela, Gun appear in our heart, take birth in our heart. And the process of chanting is all-knowing. It reveals everything. So how we can say the Lord's name, by chanting the name of the Lord, His Dham, His form, His Leela appear in the heart. So when we say Jai Shri Radha Kunj Bihari, immediately what happened? We immediately reach ISKCON Detroit temple. So Dham is established in the heart. The Lord's form appear in the heart. Right? When you chant the holy name of one particular form with which you are connected, when you say Jai Giridhari Gopal, so immediately the form of the Lord lifting Govardhan on His hand appears in front of your eyes. When you say Jai Shri Nath Ji, immediately this hand appears to be lifted up. You see that form of the Lord. Say Jai Govinda, Hari Govinda. What happens? What form appears in the heart? You reach Tirupati. Right? That Dham is established in the heart. So Jai Jagannath, if you have been to Jagannath Puri, you immediately enter into the temple. So the form, that particular form and that particular place enters in the heart. And the particular pastimes, when you chant the name of Krishna in a particular rasa, in a particular bhav, Jai Giridhari Gopal, that particular pastime of Krishna lifting the Govardhan is manifested in the heart. So Lord, when we chant the name of Krishna, the pastime of Krishna, the form of Krishna, Dham of Krishna enter in the heart. Janmadhyasya yato. And it reveals all these things. And Vayadi Taratas, Charteshwa Abhigya Surat. And the holy name is completely independent. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Abhinna Tvama Nama Namino. So Krishna's name is completely pure. It's Chintamani, touchstone. And it's completely independent. It can give the effect of anything. And it's completely independent. No matter how you chant the holy name in the beginning, right? Person may be chanting the name wrong. Sometimes we say, people say Rama, Rama. Krishna, Krishna, not pronouncing properly. But the holy name gives the effect. Ramo, Ramo. One may be chanting in any way, but it gives the result. Valmiki chanted Mara, 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 Mara. But with the continuous chanting, it showed its effect. It became completely pure and the name appeared. With the name, the Lord appeared in the heart. So the chanting of the holy name, it established Lord in the heart and it's completely independent. And it can reveal the Lord's spiritual world. In Sri Ishopanishad, there is a prayer when say, we pray to the Lord. You are covered up with the effulgence. So I am not able to see you. Please help me. Please help me by removing this effulgence in front of you so I may be able to see you. And what is the process by which Krishna reveals himself? Is by chanting of the holy name. So we may not be able to appreciate Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's leela, gun. But by just chanting the holy name of Krishna, all these things are revealed. Savyam eva spurtyada. When we engage our tongue in the service of Krishna by chanting the holy name, by honoring the prasad of Krishna, Krishna reveals himself to us. So this explanation is about the glories of the holy name. The first verse is about the holy name itself. And again, when we chant the holy name, sometimes people think a person is a sentimentalist person. He's just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He doesn't have anything to do. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting on the streets, he's leading the group of Kirtan and people will condemn. He's just like being a sannyasi, he's just a sentimentalist. He's just dancing and chanting these names. So people are put into illusion, not able to appreciate what the holy name can do. In Kali Yuga, holy name filter. Kali Yuga kebala nama adhara sumaru sumaru utare narapar. So this first verse explains the absolute truth.
Which that verse you just recited? Which is it from the Upanishad or something?
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse.
No, Naranara you said.
Which one?
Only Kali Yuga.
Oh, Kali Yuga Kevala Nama. It's from Ramayana. Kali Yuga Kevala Nama Adhara Sumari Sumari Uttare Narapar. Jasu Nama Sumarita Ikabara Uttare Nar Bhava Sindhu Apara. That's another reference from Ramayana. So, moving on to the next verse, we can spend 1 hour, 2 hour on one verse itself. Right? A lot of time classes happen. We just take one verse and speak for 1 hour on one verse. But Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And if in one class we speak one verse, we will have hundreds of years, we will not be able to finish Bhagavatam. So my goal is, we can understand the whole Bhagavat, not just as a verse by verse, but we'll go as kind of a summarized study of a chapter at a time or few verses at a time. Otherwise we can take references from here, there, and we can speak on one verse for an hour, 2 hour. But better is we will keep it little condensed, short, to be able to understand the overall message of Bhagavat. Because Bhagavatam is less philosophy and more pastimes of the Lord. And speaking on one verse from one pastime doesn't do the justice sometimes. So, moving on to the next verse. So, the second verse. First verse is establishing the absolute truth. Second verse of Bhagavatam explains the process to connect with the absolute truth. It speaks about the glorification of the scripture itself. And who is eligible to enter deeply into Bhagavatam. Dharma prajita ketvatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastvamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayo namulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Praerishwara Sadyo Hridaya Varudhyate Atra Kriti Bhi Shushushubhi Stakshana Dharma Projita Ketava. So Srimad Bhagavatam condemns all the cheating religion. All the religion which are furtive motivated, who are motivated by material gain. Parmo, it's a topmost scripture. Nirmat Saranam Satam. And who can understand Bhagavatam is the devotees who are completely, what Prabhupada writes in the translation, Prabhupada says the devotees who are 100% pure in the heart. It's very scary. Right? Oh, it means I cannot understand. So Prabhupada's explanation is the devotees who are 100% pure, completely pure in the heart, they can relish the message of Bhagavatam. Nirmatsar. The meaning of Nirmatsar is envy. Who are free from envy. And we'll discuss more in detail what that means. Vedyam Vastu Matra Vastu Shivadam. This is the essence of all the scriptures, the topmost religion. Shivadam, completely auspicious. Tapatrayana Moolanam, and it can uproot all the miseries of this material world. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite. Srimad Bhagavatam is composed by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity. Mahamuni Krite. Kimba Praye. What is the need of any other scripture? Ishwara Sadyo Hridaya Varudhyate. The Supreme Lord is established in the heart. Whose heart? Kriti bhi shushrushubhis. Either it's a newcomer person, it's a new person who is new to this subject matter, or it's an experienced person. And when the Lord establishes in the heart, tatkshanat, immediately. It's not that it will take few years after we start, after we express the desire. As soon as somebody expresses the desire, I want to go to the program, I want to hear Bhagavat, I want to hear the pastimes of the Lord, Lord immediately becomes available in the heart. He established, he's already in the heart, he reveals himself. He becomes fixed in the heart. Tatkshanat. So, now going from the beginning, what is the real meaning of this verse? Dharma Projita Ketava. Srimad Bhagavatam, completely rejecting all the religious activities which are materially motivated. There may be many religious activities which people do for a desire to gain something in this world. One may be engaging in some religious spiritual activity with the desire to gain some opulence. I want to become rich. Please, God, give me something. Please give me some wealth. Please give me nice house. Please give me nice wife. Give me nice son. Like that, may people may be motivated by these material desires. So people go to different Devi Devatas. So Krishna is absolute, but there are many Devi Devatas which are all subordinate to Krishna. Ekala Eshwara Krishna Aurasabha Bhritya. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, only Krishna is the Supreme Lord, all other Devi Devatas are the servants of Krishna. They are helping, managing the affairs of this material world. Somebody is like in the universe, in the a country's government, there is a president and there are various departments. The health department, the water municipal department, education department, finance department, security department. And there is one person who is in charge of that particular department, and under him there are many other assistants. So like that, Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the supreme creator of this world. But he has given the responsibility of managing the affairs of this world to various people who has a desire for some control. Krishna doesn't need anybody. He can handle anything by himself. But because some people has a desire to control something and they want to serve in some capacity, so Krishna has given that responsibility. But people, rather than surrendering to Krishna, they go to the various Devi Devatas for fulfillment of their needs, fulfillment of their desires. And Krishna says, as people approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tams tathai bhajamyaham. I reciprocate according to the approach of the person. If somebody comes for me, they want something from me, I give that something. If somebody come to me, they want me, I give myself. But if people come to me to get something, I just give them something and they are satisfied. They are not able to enter into bhakti. So we need to make our desires clear. Bhagavatam is rejecting all the materially motivated religious activities, propounding the absolute truth. And that absolute truth is taking shelter of Krishna. And who can understand this message? Nirmat Saranam Satam, who are completely pure. And in the pure means here, who are free from envy. Now we have envy at various level. At the topmost level, people have envy towards Krishna itself. They don't want to accept Krishna as the absolute truth, as the supreme lord, controller, maintainer of everything, enjoyer of everything. Somebody may be worshipping some particular Devi Devata and they become inimical towards Krishna, envious towards Krishna. So somebody at the highest level may be envy towards Krishna itself. So like in the world there are many religions, right? And people from different religions become inimical towards other religious people. People from other religions. They say, accept my religion. My religion is the topmost. If you don't accept my religion, will destroy you. And people become envy, enmity with each other. Not understanding, ultimately God is one. It's not that Christians have a different God, Hindus have a different God, Muslims have a different God, and all these gods in the sky, they're fighting with each other. Oh, this person is under my control. This person is under my control. God is one. We understand God with different names, in different forms. So, not being envy towards Krishna itself at the highest level. And the next level is not being envy toward the various personalities which are discussed in the pastimes of Krishna. So, Bhagavatam describes many different pastimes of Krishna. And in those pastimes, we hear about many different personalities. Ravana also come, Kansa also come, Ajamila also come. So, like all these various personalities come, which are into the negative role, playing the negative role. And we develop an envious tendency towards these characters. So not establishing envy in the heart towards these characters also. Because everybody is playing a role in Krishna's pastime. Like we do a drama in temple. For Ram Navami or Janmashtami, we do a drama. Somebody become Ram, Lakshman, Sita, somebody become Ravan. So the person who is playing the role of Ravan also is a devotee. But he has been given that role in Lord's Leela. Right? So same way when Lord comes in this material world, he comes to do his Leela, his pastime, to attract everybody's heart. And somebody is given various roles in that. So being the role of Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Kansa, all these are also exalted personalities. They are also associates of Krishna from Vaikuntha. They just came down. So not establishing or developing any sort of envious tendencies towards them. And at another level, not developing any envy towards ordinary living beings. Sometimes we have so much envy towards others. People become happy seeing others in problem. And people feel happy seeing, so people feel happy seeing others in problem and they feel miserable seeing somebody happy. Right? We discuss so many of different stories on that. So like in one Bhagavad Katha, one person was coming to Bhagavad Katha and as she was coming, some lady was coming from the behind and unintentionally she kind of touched that other lady, and she, the other lady who got kind of kicked by her and unintentionally or something, she thought, oh, she did me intentionally. So this other Mataji, she went and sat down in the front, and this other lady who was touched by her, she thought, oh, next day I want to show to her, I will come first and sit in the front. So next day that other Mataji came early, sat in the front, not that she has the desire to hear Harikatha, because of the envy in the heart that I want to beat her, I want to be first from her. That ego problem, right? So being envious towards others, we develop that envy. Again, coming back to the same previous example, that there are so many religions, we develop hatred toward each other. What to speak of different religion, within one religion, then there may be many organizations. They become, so envy manifests in terms of competition. Isn't it? The straightforward symptom of envy is getting into competition with each other.
Getting fame.
To get the fame, yes, very true. So within one religion, there are many organizations who get into competition with each other. Oh, that organization, they are establishing this temple, we'll establish bigger than that. Oh, they are doing this, we'll do something better than this. So between two organizations, that competition, that envy has come. But to speak of two organizations, within one organization, different places, different temples, that competition come. Oh, those devotees are doing this, we'll do this. But to speak of two temples, within one temple, different preachers get into competition. How come he is doing this? I will do better. So we all get into that competition mentality for the desire of name and fame. All the root cause is that ego, that desire for fame. Aham bada hai, right? I am bigger. I am more popular. I want to be more popular. If you can wait for the later part. So removing that envious tendency at different levels, not getting into competition with each other, but how can we give up that envy? By being the well-wisher of everybody, by helping each other, then we will be able to give up that competition mentality, that envy. When we understand we are serving the same purpose, same mission, with helping each other, we can move forward better. So removing that envious competition tendencies, not desiring for the name and fame, our own glory. And then one will be able to appreciate the nectar of Bhagavatam. Nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vastamatravastu shivadam tapatrayonamulanam. Shrimad Bhagavatam is the most auspicious for everybody. Remove the threefold miseries. Now somebody may ask, how can Bhagavatam remove the threefold miseries? So it's not that Bhagavatam, so there are threefold miseries, right? The threefold miseries are the miseries caused by the higher nature, the miseries caused by other living entities, and the miseries caused by our own body and mind. So that is the threefold misery. So now Bhagavatam can remove all threefold miseries. So is there some magic stick hidden in the Bhagavatam which can remove all threefold misery? I just need to do the treasure hunt in Bhagavatam. Find that magic stick, touch with my head and remove all the misery. So how Bhagavatam removes all this misery? So actually explanation is, it's not that it physically removes the miseries. It equips the sadhaka to handle the threefold miseries. One is not affected by the threefold miseries of this world. Like we hear many pastimes in Bhagavatam when we'll enter into Bhagavatam. One particular as an example, the pastime of Chitraketu. So Chitraketu was a great devotee, and once passing by he commented on Lord Shiva and Parvati, and Parvati got offended, and Parvati cursed Chitraketu to become a demon. Now he is such a great devotee, but now he is influenced with this suffering, so-called suffering, that he has to become a demon. But he is not affected by that. He completely accepted that as the will of the Lord. Because being equipped with that right mindset, equipped with that right knowledge, he is able to understand it as a will of Lord, who can see everything in everything hand of Lord, and who gives everything in the hands of the Lord. So Bhagavat equips us with that right mindset, gives us that right understanding, right knowledge. Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Prayer. So Bhagavat is composed by Vedavyas in his maturity. He first compiled the four Vedas. Then he compiled all the Upanishads. Then he compiled the Puranas. But he was still not satisfied in the heart. And then with the instruction of Narad Muni, with the inspiration of his Guru Narad Muni, he composed Shrimad Bhagavatam. So that is the ripened fruit. We'll read in the next verse. It's the topmost Purana. Ishvara Sadeo Hridaya Varudhyate. The Supreme Lord is established in the heart. Immediately. Immediately he is established in the heart. But what does Supreme Lord do by appearing in the heart? It's not that Supreme Lord will appear after some time when we have practiced something. As soon as we show the desire, that sincere desire, he appears in the heart. And he does the cleaning part of our heart, vidunoti. He cleanses our heart from all the unwanted things in the heart. So if you consider in that way, Krishna is doing very menial job. So that sometimes people call the cleaning service at home. Right? So the cleaners come and thoroughly clean the house. In India they call Kambali Bai. And in India actually ladies are eagerly waiting for the Kambali Bai. Here it's not that much. In India it's a very famous thing, right? If there is no Kambali, the life is very miserable actually for some people. They wait for Kambali more than their own husband. And so Krishna is doing that menial job, taking a broom in hand, and he is cleaning our heart. There is so much dust accumulated in the heart. And Krishna personally does that job. Like a mother. Mother cleanses the baby. Baby is just lying there, he is in the diaper. Baby may do all number one, number two in the diaper. And he is just lying there. But mother picks up the baby, cleanses the baby, cleans the baby thoroughly, right? So same way, we are in such a state, we cannot clean ourselves with the dust accumulated in our heart. But Krishna take that job to cleanse our heart. He cleanses our heart with all that dust accumulated. And in Bhagavatam, there is another verse which describes Shrunvatam Swakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayante Stho Hayadriya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrat Satam. Because Krishna is our well-wisher, our most dear friend, he does the job of cleansing our heart. And when he does that job, when we take to this chanting and the hearing process, when we chant the holy name of Krishna, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna becomes established in the heart. And he does the cleaning of our heart. Like a loving, caring mother. So moving on to the next verse, which is also very, so another 10 minutes. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam shukmukadamrita drava samyutam. Nigama kalpa taror galitam phalam. It's a ripened fruit of the kalpa vriksha. Kalpa taror. So kalpa taror is desire fulfilling tree. And what is that desire fulfilling tree? The tree of all the Vedic literature. So Nigama. Nigama means which doesn't fall down from its position. So Vedic literature, the Vedas are considered as unfallible. So the Nigama Kalpa Taror, the tree of the Vedic literature, it's a ripened fruit of that tree. Shuk Mukad Amrita Drava Samyutam. And it's being touched by Shukdev Goswami, and it's the most nectarian fruit. Pivat Bhagavatam Rasamalyam. One should drink, not even, one doesn't have to even take the fruit and eat, bite the fruit. Just drink the nectar of that fruit. It is so ripened. Like sometimes mango is very ripe mango. You don't have to cut the mango into slices. It becomes just like juice. Like the fruity comes in the market, right? Maza or fruity, whatever it is. So people just drink the juice of that fruit, mango fruit. So here it says, just drink the nectar of this fruit of Bhagavat, which has touched the lips of Shukadev Goswami, and it is so nectarian. Pivat Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. And who can be able to relish that nectar? Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. On this earth, the people who are rasikas, who understand the mellows, the various rasas, and bhavuka. What is bhavuka? The emotional people who have emotions in the heart. They will be able to relish that nectar. So nigama kalpa taror. So first of all, kalpa tree, desire fulfilling tree. If somebody is sitting under a desire fulfilling tree, what will you ask? If you have the opportunity, you come across a desire fulfilling tree, what will you ask?
Not to come in the cycle of rebirth.
Not to come in the cycle of this birth. Okay, very good. So that is because we have knowledge, right? If we don't have the knowledge, what generally people will ask? So once Narad Muni, he was going to Swargalok, and one person met. Can I also come with you? Narad Muni, yes, come. So this person came with Narad Muni to Swarga, and Narad Muni said, I'm going to meet Indra. You stay here in the garden, and this garden is having all the kalpa vriksha, desire fulfilling trees. So this person sits down under a desire fulfilling tree, he doesn't know. And as he's sitting there, he is thinking, I'm very tired. It will be so nice if I have some nice prasadam to eat. So immediately a nice plate appears with all nice variety of food. So he eat all that food. So after eating all that food, he is desiring, I wish now there were some nice mattress, some nice bed for me to lie down, take some rest. Immediately a bed appeared. Nice purple mattress. So he is taking rest. And as he is taking rest, lying down on that bed, now he is thinking, I desire, I wish some apsaras come and start massaging my feet. Immediately the apsaras come and start massaging his body. And as it happened, now he had a little fear in the heart. If my wife come to know about this, what will happen? He will come with the broom to beat me up. Immediately wife came with the broom in the hand. So when we are sitting under a desire tree, we need to know what we are desiring, whatever thoughts are, whatever desires are. So when we are approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, when we are approaching the spiritual practice, we should know what is the goal of that. To approach Krishna, to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, not to get something from Krishna. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of this Kalpa Vriksha. Now this ripened fruit, there is one danger with the ripened fruit. If somebody is standing under the tree and takes a stone and hit the ripe fruit, and the ripe fruit fell down from the tree, very ripe fruit just fell down from that height on the ground, what will happen to the fruit? Gone. All the nectar is spilled out, the fruit is damaged, nobody can eat that fruit now. So this Bhagavatam is also the ripened fruit, Galitam Phalam, most ripened fruit. But has this Srimad Bhagavatam come down, just somebody throw it from top to down? No, this ripened fruit has come down from branch to branch. Somebody has passed down from the top branch to one lower branch. Then somebody from that branch to one lower branch, and then one lower branch. And this is how this message of Bhagavatam has passed down. Veda Vyas compiled that Bhagavatam message. He passed down to Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami passed down. He spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, and in that assembly somebody captured that fruit. And somebody passed down that fruit to other sages. And in this way, disciplic succession, the message of Bhagavatam has passed down. So somebody should try to relish that message of Bhagavatam in a proper disciplic succession, in a parampara system, to gain the right knowledge, right message. So last time I gave the example of rain. So when there is rain falling, if we don't capture the water of the rain, so after some time, whatever we heard, it will just go away. Right? So after the person may be wet in the rainwater, but after some time it will dry up. But if you collect that water, you can continuously keep using. So same way, if we hear attentively the message of Bhagavatam, then 24 hours become our satsang. So 2 hours is physically you are sitting here and listening, but rest 22 hours you will be contemplating on that message. That message will be going that, oh, the person spoke this phrase, person spoke this message. So those thoughts keep going in the mind. So as somebody sometimes watch movie. So you may think, oh, 2 hours I am watch the movie, what is the harm? So 2 hours watching movie is done. But what happens? Once you have watched the movie, does it just go away immediately? Later on, other parts of the day, some thoughts from that movie, whatever we watched in that movie, some scenes, they keep appearing in front of the eyes of the mind. Those thoughts keep coming. So same way, if we hear attentively, if we absorb that message, then we keep contemplating on that message. And then 24 hours becomes like satsang. So hearing the message properly in a right disciplic succession to gain the real essence of that message. Muhuroho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. So people who are emotionals, people who know the mellows, they will be able to appreciate this nectar. So one has to be filled with emotions, not that somebody is completely free from emotions. Sometimes people think, oh, you are a sentimental fool. The process of bhakti yoga, sometimes people think it's sentimentalist process. But without sentiments, one cannot do anything. So this world is called Bhavasagar. Right? So to cross beyond this Bhavasagar, one has to enter into the Bhavasagar. When we merge ourselves into the ocean of emotions, then we can cross beyond this Bhavasagar, this ocean of misery. So that is the sense of this third verse, which is as an invocation prayer by Sutta Goswami to all the rishis. And he is glorifying the previous speaker, Shukdev Goswami. Because Shukdev Goswami spoke this Bhagavatam, this is the most nectarian fruit. And we'll discuss later in the next session, some background of Shukdev Goswami. Who is Shukdev Goswami? What is his credibility? So how we should approach this message of Bhagavatam? So first qualification is discussed in last
desire.
Time.
Desire.
Strong desire. Shraddha. So we have to have some sort of faith in the speaker, in the message of Bhagavat. Then we can enter into the nectars of Bhagavat. So once one person, he came to his guru and he was feeling very weak health wise, physically. And the guru said, I will give you some recipe. You take that remedy and you will gain your health. So you grind the almonds, you ground the pistachios, you ground all these things. Then you take milk, put all these things in the milk, boil the milk. You drink that nectarian drink and then you will be able to regain your health. And the disciple went home. He tried very, very hard to grind the almond. He broke his back. He was not able to prepare himself. He came back to his guru. So the next day when he came, to guru, he said, okay, you are not able to do yourself. I will prepare the drink for you. So the guru grind the almonds, the pistachios, all those nice healthy stuff, prepared that nectar and gave to the disciple. And the disciple is drinking that nectarian drink and slowly he regained his health. So same way, this message of Bhagavatam, this Bhagavat whole Puran is given to us. And we have been told, okay, now read this Bhagavat Puran. Understand this message. Prabhupada worked so hard to write the commentaries on this Bhagavad Puran. He spent the whole nights writing the translations, word-to-word meaning, the commentaries on Bhagavatam. He worked so hard and gave this 18-volume Bhagavad Puran to us. And now we can do that hard work to at least read. We can pick up the Bhagavatam, read one verse, two verses at a time.
These are the top results.
But if somebody, if we are not able to read ourselves, do that hard work, at least come to the program. Come where the Bhagavad Katha is happening. Come where Bhagavatam is being spoken. And the person prepared. So the person is saying, just come. Bring your glass of desire. All you have to do is bring your glass of desire and the nectar is ready. Drink that nectar through your ears and you will be able to regain your health, the spiritual health. So if we cannot struggle hard ourselves, at least bring our desire to understand that message, hear attentively and gain spiritual health, progress in spiritual life. So we'll stop here today and we'll continue next time into the next parts. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So total 18 books.
So Prabhupada divide or wrote complete total 18 books. So there are 12 cantos.
One book is like this size.
Some are small. So some cantos Prabhupada split into multiple books.
So all the English meaning, what everything he has written?
Right. So he wrote word-to-word translation, word-to-word meaning, and then he gave his translation based on his word-by-word meaning and then his commentaries. Yeah. And he wrote the commentary not like his concoction or his understanding only. He studied the commentary of 5 different acharyas.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reconciled those to give up the Bhakti Vedanta purports. Mm-hmm. So this is like we are getting the ready-made material of the commentaries of all so great previous acharyas.
Mm. So why it is so long? Is because of the all pastimes?
Yeah, so this is all various pastimes. We'll, in the next session, we will discuss what is the content of Bhagavad.
That will be good, yes.
Anybody has any question? Or anybody has any comment? I know it's a little late today. Again, sorry for that. Because our half an hour, 40 minutes were spent in the resolution discussion, otherwise we'll be done by 9:30.